Today, as we come to the table,
they battled against that city and they conquered them. And I'm not, again, my point is simply this. Sometimes, guys, when God, we hear a harsh message, God here is the one that wiped those nations out. God wiped them out. We need to understand as a people, and we need to understand as a nation, that God is a God of judgment as well as a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of forgiveness. He's a God of kindness. But he's also a God of judgment. And God wipes out peoples and God wipes out nations when they don't repent if they go too far. I think that's a message America needs to hear today. Because I think we're on the path of Canaan. And if we don't repent, we're going to be one of those nations that is judged.
It's so much easier to focus on the love God has for his people, but Pastor Mark brings up the other side of God's character today. God is not only a God of love, he is also a God of justice. Love is not love without justice to back it up, but God's love is not wimpy and half-hearted. His justice equals his love. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. So when Pastor Mark talks about the justice of God and the need to evaluate ourselves as Christian Americans, it's a serious call to repentance. It's time to get our heads back in the book so we can know what it is God has called us to be. And once we see it, we need to have the courage to grow into the image of Christ. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts chapter 13 as he continues his message, Meeting People Where They Are.
How exciting it has been to see the gospel through Gospel for Asia and others go to the Dalits and say, you are special to God. He loves you. He died for you. And you can receive the kingdom of God if you just believe. And they see they have purpose and somebody loves them. That's what Paul was doing. The God-fearers may not have been as bad as the Dalits today, but the Jews had nothing to do with them. They let them come, but they wouldn't even let them in. The Jews believed the Gentiles were created to keep hell burning. In their writings, it says that we, non-Jews, which are what Gentiles are, we were created by God because there had to be something to make hell burn. So we were created, and we're the ones who were going to be there burning it while they were up in heaven, right? That was the viewpoint. Now, Paul starts out saying, men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. Now he's got the ears of everybody in the audience. How did he do that? He knew his audience. He knew Jews would be there. He knew God-fearers. Guys, when you go to share the gospel, find out who's going to be there. Reach them where they are. Speak their language. He says, listen, the God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. With an uplifted arm, he brought them out of it. So he now begins to go into their history. He says, I'm going to reach the Jews where they are, but I'm going to tell their history, remind them of their history, remind them that God promised through David a Messiah, show them that David was not the one that they were looking to, but a one to come after. He's not the one in the Gospels that it talks about never saw corruption, but Jesus who would rise from the dead, and he's going to bring the gospel in through their very foundation and their belief system. He says, now for a time of about 40 years, I love this, he put up with their ways in the wilderness. Boy, did he ever. These guys were really hard to put up with. But God's been faithful to put up with us, hadn't he? Some of you this morning, God's been putting up with you. And maybe you feel it. You know what, God, I know that you should have condemned me a long time ago. I should be dead by now. How many of you guys, by the time you came to the Lord, realize you should already be dead? Anybody else besides me? I realize I should have been dead. I had many opportunities to die and actually created most of them myself. And I look back at how God saved me, how God rescued me physically so that I could be saved spiritually. Some of you guys, God has simply kept you alive till today so you can hear the gospel. I was talking with Tracy about somebody the other day that's living longer than we ever thought they would live. And her comment is always the same, and it's right on target. It is God's grace giving them more time so they might repent and be saved. Because there's no other reason that person would be alive. Some of you today, maybe the only reason you didn't get killed in that car accident, maybe the only reason that disease didn't take you down, maybe the only reason whatever happened in your life is because God said, I'm going to give him another chance. I'm going to bring him to Calvary Chapel. And I'm going to let them hear this message. And I'm bringing them today. I'm picking today to do it. This is their chance. If they'll respond and receive Jesus Christ, I will save them. And that may be you, guys. If that's you, God is calling you this morning. Don't leave this place without making that decision. And so Paul, again, notice he says, God put up with them, verse 19. And when God, this is heavy, notice this. And when God had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land by allotment to the Jews, to Israel. Now, what does it mean when God destroyed? Exactly what it says. God destroyed those nations. God destroyed those peoples. Now, you're saying that's a little bit of a shock factor, Pastor Mark, because God is love and God is forgiveness, and you're up there saying God destroyed. I'm not saying it. The Bible is. My job is to convey it to you and say that sometimes in order for a dead people or a dead nation to hear, there's got to be a shock factor. It's interesting. I believe that our nation is now in a spiritual dullness across the board. I don't think that our nation can wake up unless we're shocked. I think we need a little bit of shock treatment to wake up to the gospel, a little bit of shock treatment to wake up to the Lord. We've become so deadened as a nation by our sin. We're accepting things as normal now that the Bible says condemn mankind. We're not only accepting it, we're passing laws that they can do it. We're defending it. It's one thing to accept sin. It's another thing to defend it and pass laws to help it. Is everybody with me? That's a dead nation, guys. That's a nation that needs to repent. We need to be shocked. You remember the priest? You remember the story of the priest that was traveling back up to Ephraim from the Old Testament? And he had his concubine with him, his wife with him. And they went to this town, and the town, the men of the town got his wife and raped her to death. And they were so shocked that the men of a city would rape anyone as a group, but then rape her to death. It was the men of the city. But nobody would even listen. It was like, is nobody going to pay attention to this? Because it was so rampant. There was so much sexual immorality and everything was so horrible in the nation. This priest knew that nobody would listen if he simply told them. So you know what he did? He did something very radical. Now, I'm not recommending this, nor am I condoning this. He cut her up literally in 12 pieces. And he sent different body parts to the 12 tribes of Israel, to the leaders, the governor of that area, sent it to their leaders, to their tribes. It'd be like today cutting somebody up in 50 pieces and sending one to each governor in the United States and saying, this is what's happening in America. We're killing our babies. And this is what flesh and blood looks like. And it's happening every day by the thousands and every year by the millions. We're a part of it and we're accountable to God. Can you imagine opening that box and going, ugh, you know? Sometimes I hear people get upset because they get really graphic on some of these abortion posters. I think it's a good thing. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. It's not to gross people out, but I believe we are so dead to sin and the murder we're doing as Americans that unless we see something that will shock us, we're not even going to pay attention. And when they opened those boxes, they said, whoa, what is this? Who sent me a body part for crying out loud? Then the note with it. Oh yeah, this was my wife. And these men raped her to death and they killed her. Would you like to come help me arrest them? The nation mobilized and they battled against that city and they conquered them. And I'm not, again, my point is simply this. Sometimes, guys, when God, we hear a harsh message, God here is the one that wiped those nations out. God wiped them out. We need to understand as a people and we need to understand as a nation that God is a God of judgment as well as a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of forgiveness. He's a God of kindness. But he's also a God of judgment, and God wipes out peoples and God wipes out nations when they don't repent if they go too far. I think that's a message America needs to hear today because I think we're on the path of Canaan. And if we don't repent, we're going to be one of those nations that is judged. And so he says he wiped out those nations and he distributed allotment to the nation of Israel. Notice this, verse 20. After that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they asked for a king. So God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. Now, again, this is interesting here because notice it says they asked for a king. God didn't want them to have a king. God wanted to be their king. God said, I'll be your God. I'll be your king. Just look to me. But they said, no, we want a man to. We'd rather not have you, God. We want a man to be our king. What kind of decision is that, right? And it's interesting here because Saul, literally, his name means desired. Kish means a snare. And 40 is the number of probation, trial, and chastisement. It's as if he's saying, you know what, look, you desired this king. He's going to be a snare to you, and you're going to come under chastisement because of it. But because you want that, I'm going to give that to you. I'll give you an earthly king. How much wiser for us to have godly kings? You know what I mean? Saul was not a godly king. And God wants nations to have godly leaders. He doesn't force them to, but that is God's desire. He says, you wanted a fleshly man. You got a fleshly man. You got the consequences of it. And notice it says in verse 22, and when God had removed him, he raised up for them David, Now we see a different kind of man. David is king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man, note this, after my own heart, who will do all my will. Note that. In other words, not a man who will do his own will, and not a man who will follow his own heart, but a man who will do my will and follow my own heart. And God is looking for people like that today. Guys, he's looking around this room for somebody that will do his will and will follow his heart, not that will do your will and follow your own heart. God can't use you if you're there. God wants people that will follow his will. We need to pray, God, give me a heart that wants your will. Give me a heart that will follow what you want, God. That's what I desire. If you become that man or that woman, God will use you. You're the person he's calling. He'll do it. But you've got to say, Lord, that's me. I want to be used. David, a man after God's own heart. I love it. I want to be a man after God's own heart. That's my desire. And the question for us this morning is, which kind of man or woman are you? Are you a man or a woman after God's heart? Are you a man or a woman after God's will? Or are you a man or a woman after your own will, your own heart? You know, the Bible says that in the last days, most everyone is going to be seeking their own. It says that mankind will become very selfish and the love of many will grow cold. It'd be about me. What can I get? What can I do? How can I be taken care of? There's going to be very few people that will travel through perilous robber-infested territory to take the gospel to those who need it to get into the kingdom of God. And we need to be those people that say, Lord, here I am. Whatever you want, I'm going to do it. I'm all in for you. It's 100%, all or nothing. God says, I'll use a person like that. David was that man. He's reminding him now as he shares their history. Notice, from this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior. And now he names him Jesus. After John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. That is, John came first and John was preaching the baptism of repentance. But then he raised up Jesus. And as John was finishing his course, he said, who do you think that I am? I am not he. But behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I'm not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, now he makes his address. He's laid some foundation. He's got to know his audience. He's reaching them where they are. And he says, men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God. Again, including the Gentiles out in the foyer listening as well. He says, to you, the word of this salvation has been sent. Notice past tense. Not is being sent, has been sent. That is, he's come. Your way to heaven has now been given. It's through Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, and you receiving him as Lord and Savior. It has been given. All we have to simply do is receive it. I love it. And so he says, now just you need to respond. Basically, he's going to give them that opportunity. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him. Notice they were the religious leaders, but they were unsaved. We have a lot of that today. Nor even the voices of the prophets, that is the word of God, in which they read every Sabbath. They didn't understand it. They fulfilled them in condemning him. So they didn't know what they were doing, but they actually fulfilled prophecy. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. And when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning Jesus, they took him down from the tree and they laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. There's the gospel. There it is. Jesus died on a cross. He was put in a tomb. He rose again because God raised him from the dead. And everyone who will confess their sins, believe in him, and receive him will have a ticket into the kingdom of God. It's that simple. But notice, before Paul got to that point, what did he do? He reached them where they were. Who am I talking to? How will you respond to me? How can I get your ear? You know, what can I do? How can I reach you? What is the avenue? You know, if you're going to talk to this group over here, make sure you know who the group is. And then when you build that bridge, then you come in and you give the gospel. And it's not hard. The gospel isn't difficult. After reasoning with them, you just simply share with them what the Lord did for them. And then the Holy Spirit takes it from there. Now, sometimes people will say to me, Pastor Mark, come and share, you know, with this person or whatever. Like, you share with them, you know. You don't need me. Here's the gospel. You know the gospel. Share with them. But no, you know, look, it's not hard. You're a sinner. You need to be forgiven. I'm a sinner. Jesus died for those sins. He rose again. And for all who believe and receive, you'll be saved. There it is. It's all it is. Just let God do the work. You just share the good news. And it is good news. As we see, Paul's going to say here in just a moment. Notice he was seen, verse 31, for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are witnesses to the people. Paul tells us over 500 people at one point saw him all at one time. Over 500 people. Now, how many people do you think it would take in court to prove somebody was alive? For the Jews, it was like two or three witnesses is all they needed. Can you imagine by the time you get to two or three, they're fine. Then you get to seven, they get to 10, it's getting a little bit ridiculous. Now you're up to 500. Okay, he really rose from the dead. Okay, all right. We believe it. evidence is overwhelming that Jesus died and resurrected and rose from the grave. So there's no need that anyone doubt that. And Paul's making the point. And by the way, most of the people that saw Jesus alive were still alive in this day. You could have gone to them. Hey, I heard you were there when Jesus appeared and spoke to everybody. Yes, I was. Tell me about it. Wow, it was amazing. Here's what happened. Here's what he said. And you go down the line to each one of them, and they all tell you the same story. Then you realize, wait a minute, this is real. These people aren't making this up. This isn't a game. This isn't some created religion. This is the real deal. And so we're witnesses to this. And notice, I love it, because here's what the gospel is, verse 32. And we declare to you glad tidings. That promise which was made to the fathers, it's glad tidings. You know, the gospel, Jesus Christ, the good news of the Lord is glad tidings. Indeed it is, because it's the way to get into heaven. Then why do so many people treat it like bad tidings? Don't preach that Jesus stuff around here. You know, remove it from this and remove it from that. Jesus tells us the reason in John chapter 3. He says, because men love darkness rather than light. And they don't want to hear the light. Many of them don't. They don't want to see the light. We have to go in among the darkness and share the light, even among people that don't want to hear it, so others can hear it. I remember being at a concert one time, and we're going around doing some street witnessing. I guess that's what you call it, concert witnessing. It was not a godly concert, but we were sharing the Lord. And we were doing it in love. We were using tact. We weren't walking up and trying to be rude or whatever. And I would literally come up to groups of people and say this, hey, you guys mind if I share the Lord with you? Has anybody ever shared spiritual things? I'd use different approaches. And they would, and you'd see this, like these people, certain ones would turn and look and say, well, yeah, I would love you to. And then you'd have two or three, oh, shut up. We don't have that stuff. Hey, whatever, you know. And I'd say, you know, all right, I'm not going to force it on you, you know. And the others would be like, no, I want to hear. And I'd say, well, if you want, those of you here that would like to, let's step over here. And they'd walk with me over there. But you've got to go into the lion's den to pull out the lammies. You know what I mean? And if they don't want to become little sheep, they don't have to. God's not going to make them. But sometimes we have to go in places that are kind of scary. I had boldness when I first got saved and probably did some things. You know, hopefully I would still do them now. I don't know. But I remember going up to this biker gang. And they looked really rough. I mean, there was a whole group of them sitting around, you know, and they had all their cigarettes and, you know, the whole thing just, I mean, they looked like scarred up and they might just eat you if they didn't like you. And I remember, and I don't tell you this because I was so, but this is the Holy Spirit, God leading. Well, I'm not some bold guy. This is just when God moves in your heart. I remember kneeling down to these guys and saying, has anybody ever shared that God loves you guys? And they looked at me like, first they're trying to figure out, did you really just say that to us? First we'll stab him, then we'll shoot him, then we'll hang him, then we'll, no, I'm just kidding. But they just kind of sat there, and the ones that I could tell didn't want to hear it politely listened. Some of them said, yeah, go ahead. And I started sharing the gospel, and they listened. It was kind of like, thanks. You know, nobody said, yeah, I'd like to do that, and they didn't follow me or whatever, you know. And, you know, I just got on my scooter and rode off. I hang with those guys. But my point is this. Don't be afraid to go. If God tells you to go, guys, go. A lot of times the people that look the scariest want somebody to tell them that God loves them. Sometimes they look scary because they want to intimidate you because they think nobody does love them. Follow the leading of the Spirit and just do what God tells you to do. And so I declare to you glad tidings. This is good news. Look, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I've begotten you. And that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He is, in other words, he's now preaching the resurrection. And by the way, there are some that say Jesus never resurrected. Well, you're going to have to fight with Paul, because the Bible says it. And of course, Paul right here, that's his whole point. He says, he has spoken thus to us, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Therefore, he also said in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. They thought that was David. See, the Jews taught in that day, he's talking about David, that David wouldn't see corruption. But they never thought it through because David did see corruption. He decayed. He was put in the grave and decayed. He's saying, you guys aren't understanding what you're reading. He said, for David, after he served, in other words, he's talking about somebody else, the Messiah, Jesus, who resurrected. For David, after he'd served his own generation, by the will of God, fell asleep and was buried with his fathers and saw corruption. He decayed. So it can't be David he's talking about. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. That is Jesus. He was raised from the dead. Now, after all this, therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. If you want to be forgiven, it's got to be through Jesus. John 14:6, no man comes to the Father except through me. And Acts 4:12, there's no other name under heaven or earth by which a man can be saved except the name Christ Jesus. He says, through this name, this is your opportunity, Jews. If you want to be saved, you got to come through Jesus. This is your opportunity, Gentiles, God-fearers. If you want to be saved, you got to come through Jesus. There's no other option. So he's laying it out clearly. And notice, not only did he meet them where they were, he also shared the word of God. He's sharing the scripture and showing them from the scripture how God's word is true. Note that they saw no corruption, or he saw no corruption through this man, forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law. The Jews were trying to live by the law. We'll get to heaven by the Ten Commandments. We'll get to heaven by the Sermon on the Mount. We'll get to heaven by being good. He says, it doesn't work. Even if you keep all of it, you will not get in heaven, because it is only through the cross and confession of sin. It is only through Jesus Christ. You cannot get in by those things. You can't get in by the law. And again, this is what the Jews were doing, but I love what he says at the first of the verse. Notice he said, by him, everyone. I have that underlined. How many is the door of the gospel in heaven open to? Everyone. Not me, Pastor Mark. You don't understand what I've done. You don't know what. The door is open for you today. But you have to make a choice to walk through it, and that is confessing your sin and receiving Jesus as Lord. If you don't do that, you're not getting in. But if you do that, it's open to everyone. You know, there are some that teach today that only certain elect get in. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that everyone can get in. It is a personal choice. You choose to receive Christ, you will be in the kingdom of God. And Paul says, this is for all of you guys, not just you Jews, but you God-fearers, you Gentiles back there in the foyer. It's for you guys as well. You can be saved. Now, imagine how excited they got at that moment. Because the Jews had always told them they couldn't be saved unless they converted to Judaism. Now this Jew stands up and says, you can be saved. And it's through Jesus. You can receive him right now. This would have created a tremendous emotional response in those Gentiles. And so he says, now note this. He realizes that some people, because he said that, he just said that Gentiles could be saved and the door to heaven was open for everyone when the Jews only believed they were getting in. Now he warns them because he knows they're going to mock. He says, beware therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. And that is this. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish, for I will work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. He's that one declaring it. I'm declaring it, Paul's saying. Some of you are mocking. Some of you are making fun. Now, there may be some of you today that are mocking and making fun. What do you mean Jesus is the only way to get into heaven? What do you mean I have to confess my sins? What do you mean I can't just go to heaven because I went to church my whole life? The Bible says that. And the warning that Paul gives is the same warning that I want to give you today, but it's also kind of the last thing I want to talk about in presenting the gospel. It's not just meeting people where they are and knowing your audience and then building a bridge to them, then giving them the gospel, then using the word of God to show them from the Bible that it's true, but it's also giving a warning. And that is this, listen. The longer you wait to receive Christ, the Bible says, the harder it gets. There's a principle in the Bible that says every time you hear the gospel, when you don't respond to it, your heart gets just a little bit harder. That means, guess what? The next time you're in church and you hear the gospel and you don't respond to it, you're not as easy to respond to it. It's harder already. And then if you don't respond that time, it gets a little harder that time. Some of you guys have been hearing this your whole life. And maybe some of you guys are just religious like I was. You went to church your whole life, but you never really met Jesus. And your heart has gotten a little bit harder, but this morning God is saying, all right, here's another chance. I've kept you alive. I've opened your eyes. Now you have a chance to receive the gospel. Jesus died for you. You need to confess your sins today and receive. Don't harden your heart anymore. I want to give you the same warning Paul did. Don't harden your heart. Don't mock. Don't scoff. Humble yourself. Ask God to forgive you. Confess your sin and receive him as Lord. That's the gospel message. So we see how we're supposed to present it, but now it's being presented to you.
Thanks for coming to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark for his study in the book of Acts. This groundbreaking book is what spearheaded the Christian movement as we know it, recounting the beginnings of the church. What an incredible time it must have been, experiencing eyewitnesses of Jesus being passionate and bold in their faith. These disciples, who became apostles of the faith, are inspiring in their courage and in their sacrifice. It doesn't go without notice that all the original disciples were brutally killed for their faith or tortured and exiled. Why would these people do this? What was worth risking and even losing their lives for? Well, it's a fact that what they lived and died for was and is true to this day. Jesus came to save, and by believing in that, life here on earth doesn't hold the end all to living. Have you come to a belief in what you've heard today? We'd like to know. If you go to thewaymedia.net, you'll find a questions and comments link. Go ahead and fill out this form, and we'd like to know what you gained from today's teaching, as well as anything we can be praying for. You can also listen to additional messages in this series and other books of the Bible in the Come to the Table section at thewaymedia.net. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but Pastor Mark has more to share from the exciting book of Acts. We're thankful that you are a part of our listening audience today, and we look forward to you tuning in to our next edition. So come hear more from Pastor Mark next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.